Then also, want to let folks know that today we start Stimulus Jubilee. And so we recognize that at this time we are experiencing not only one of the worst health crises that we've had in this country, but we're also suffering a devastating economic crises as well. And so we know that there has been government intervention to try to help folks economically in these times. And we recognize that a lot of us are also benefiting from that stimulus. And we may be in a position to maybe pass along some of what we're getting to those folks who are in a tougher spot than we are in. And we recognize that a lot of us are privileged. And so rather than, you know, resting in the fact that maybe economically this is not hitting us as hard as it is hitting other people, we want to make sure that whatever little we can pass along to folks who may need it, let's do so. If you go to our website, we actually have four organizations that we are suggesting that people support at this time if they can. You can go to the website. There are videos that will give you information about those organizations. They're right here on the screen. Some of them are a community-based organization that's working with people. Others are organizations that are actually doing some work to create the protective gear for folks. So go ahead and look at the website and check out those videos of those organizations. However, you also in prayer may be called to contribute other places. And so we certainly say that if you feel that God is saying these organizations are great, but you know what? I feel as though I'm being led to contribute to the local food bank or to the local youth organization or to the local social welfare organization. By all means, please do that if you are led to do so. But let's try and really come together as a community with the with the country, with the world, and really try to help out where we can, if we can. And so with that, I am now going to hand over the mic to Sister Sarah with I Wonder. And then we will continue in celebration.
Hi, Godly Play Kids. I'm really glad to see you guys. I see someone whose name starts with A, and someone whose name starts with C, and E, and G. And then I see a whole bunch of people who are J, K, L, M, and N names. And I see some R's and S and T. So good morning. You guys are really important to us in our church. We really miss being with you. All of you. We're really proud of you during this time. Godly Play Kids, I'm wondering about you today. I wonder, do you have any money? Do you have any money? Do you have a place, you know, where you put your money? Like, look at this place.
That's my.
This is Clive's. Do you ever take your money and put it in there? And then do you ever take your money out? Look at that. Oh my gosh. That's hard to get the money out of. Oh, brother.
Give me blue.
Did you ever take your money out and give it to anybody else? Do you remember who that was? Well, that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna give money as a church to some people who don't have very much money. And we're going to use the computer. So when it's time, you can be the one to push the button. Okay. So just claim that now. Tell your grown-ups, I want to push the button. Okay. Did you tell them? Okay. We'll do it all together. I'm really happy to see you guys. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. And let's meet and greet. Let's mix and mingle. Let's hang out. Let's break up into our small group. Let's meet some new people. And this morning, as part of our scripture warm-up, maybe you could share with each other the first apartment you ever paid rent for. What was that like? What was your first apartment? Where was it? How many rooms did it have? How clean or dirty was it? Was it infested by any rats, vermin, cockroaches? Who knows? And if you remember, a special bonus, how much did you pay rent for it? For some of us old folks, that's a long time ago. Tell us about your first apartment that you personally paid rent for. See you soon.
He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out,
"Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames."
But Abraham said,
"Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like many manner evil things, and now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us."
He said,
"Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment."
Abraham replied,
"They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them."
He said,
"No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent."
He said to him,
"If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much for that beautiful reading of these striking texts. And as we enter into the word this week, the question that I have for us to start is, what is real and what is virtual? I feel like in this season, that's a question that we're all sort of asking. I took a walk with someone this week. Actually, it was Ron Sum. I'll just say that. Ron Sum and I took a walk this week. We went out to Cesar Chavez. And the first thing he said to me was, "I haven't seen you in 7 weeks." And I was like, "What are you talking about? I feel like I see you 3 times a week. I see you all the time." And I realized that, like, he was right, that we hadn't seen each other in almost 2 months face to face. But this kind of virtual reality that we're in, we're sort of meeting all the time in prayer meetings and in church, kind of like we're doing now. And it sort of, it opens up the question almost like, what is real and what is virtual? And with these two passages, what Jesus is continuing to teach throughout all of Luke that we've been going through for these years now is that what is most real is the kingdom. The upside down kingdom of God is what is actually most real. And so Jesus tries to tell us two stories about that will make that kingdom kind of real for us. And it's an invitation to live ahead of our time and to live into that kingdom that is coming, but is not here yet. Because, I mean, let's be real. Like, what seems real is what's around us. It's the constant news about the coronavirus. It's whoever you're sheltering in place with. They're so real, and they probably need to take a shower. You know, and all of this talk about the kingdom of God that comes from this old text, and it can seem far away. And so I think what I'm really excited about in this text today is that I believe this is an opportunity for us to live ahead of our time and to experience the kingdom as the most real thing in our lives. So let's look at these two acts really quickly. These are long passages, and I hope God spoke to you in something through that reading. I'm really only going to focus on a couple themes because I'm trying to keep this to 15 minutes. I want to respect our time and our attention span virtually. So I just want to highlight a couple things. First of all, in Act 1, I think the real key to that story was again comparing the two ages, this age of now, this seeming reality, which is really virtual. And Jesus is calling us to be as shrewd in the coming kingdom as that manager was in his age. Now, manager was pretty smart, you have to admit. He's going to get fired. He's going to be homeless and on the street. And so he figures out how to make friends in this world by, you know, cutting his master's debtors' debts. And so they'll sort of owe him a debt of gratitude. Really important, especially in that culture of reciprocity, right? It's like if someone scratches your back, you scratch their back. And so he was about to be turned out and homeless, but instead there was a lot of doors he could knock on and say, hey, remember that debt? Remember that savings? Like, maybe you got something for me. And then in the second act, it was just a really vivid picture of how in the reality of the kingdom, things will be really reversed. You can imagine that picture of the rich man feasting sumptuously every day. Some of you might be feasting sumptuously every day. For me, I might, when I actually see most of you face to face, I might show up with like the coronavirus 15, closely related to the freshman 15, the weight that you gain when you go to college. You know, because what else is there to do but feast sumptuously? And so this was the reality of this rich man and Lazarus around his gate, suffering and homeless and diseased, was almost not even a thought to him. He didn't even notice. But in Jesus's very striking picture of the ultimate reality, it's completely turned upside down. And the rich man who had ignored the values of the kingdom was in a place of separation. And Lazarus, the one who Jesus came to announce good news to and to preach the Jubilee to, he was experiencing the wholeness and fullness of God's love and God's shalom. And so I think in both of these pictures of what's really real, it's so striking that our money plays an absolutely key role in actually experiencing the reality of the kingdom. It's really interesting that if we ask, okay, you know, Jesus, I want to follow you. I believe you. Like, your kingdom is the most real thing. But how do I experience that? Jesus, in this case, you know, in this teaching this week, he doesn't give a list of like, this is how you pray. This is how you meditate. Meditate till you levitate and experience the kingdom. No, it's actually the way you use your money. There's something about seeing Lazarus and caring for him. If that rich man had done that, that would have been the kingdom. Let's look at verse 9. Noelle, if we could turn to verse 9 there, where it says, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Strange saying. What does that mean? And again, I think what Jesus is saying is that this age is characterized by dishonest wealth. And that manager really knew how to work the system. So what Jesus is saying is that if you're my follower, you should know how to work the system of the coming age, of the upside down kingdom. And in that place, we actually make friends through our sharing of our money with people who will not even be able to repay us. Was so striking in this time, because normally you would share money with your friends, but there was carefully calibrated so that you would get something back, that there would be a reciprocity there. But in what Jesus is saying here, that the kingdom values are to share wealth, which is so dishonest, with those who cannot pay you back, who are so destitute, like Lazarus, that in this life you won't get anything out of it. Maybe. I mean, you will actually. There's a lot of joy in it. But where it really matters is that in the next age, when all true values come into being, when all the price tags get reversed and put on the right prices, the right values are actually brought into being, that phrase, they will welcome you into the eternal homes. I actually think, and we see this in Luke 12 too, that there's a way in which when we give to those who cannot pay us back, those who are suffering like Lazarus, I actually believe that in the new kingdom, in the new heavens and the new earth, I think we'll have cool conversations with those people. They'll be like, thank you so much during the coronavirus. Like, man, I couldn't even eat in Uganda. Or like, my kids were like, just, they lost their education. We were struggling. We didn't know if we were going to be homeless. We didn't know if we can pay the rent. And yet you saw me in that time. And I think there's a way that they will welcome us into that eternal kingdom. Because really, I think that phrase there, you see the phrase that says, by means of dishonest wealth, I really believe that this age is characterized by wealth which is so dishonest. I think it's tricksy, like Gollum would say, right? Like, it's how things work now is you got to have money to make money. The rich get richer. Their power and influence increases their power. And if you're poor, it's harder to jump on the top. And even whether you're rich or poor, money is dishonest. It's false. It creates worry if you have it that you might lose it. And it creates worry if you don't have it because you just need it to make the rent and to have food. And so I think that it's really true. If we reflect on our experience of money now, even though we need it, it's dishonest and it needs to be disciplined in our lives because it doesn't deliver what it promises. And so for Jesus, he turns that dishonest wealth on its head and says, you can actually use dishonest wealth to invest in the kingdom of God. And I think this is really fascinating because I got to be honest, this week, one of the things that I haven't, you know, as I've thought about my money or our money, Jody and mine, or Isaiah and Camila's money, as we've thought about how the coronavirus is going to impact us, one of the things that we've done is to invest in the stock market in the first time in our lives. We wanted to invest in the future of green energy that our planet really needs. And so we found a mutual fund that would get us a whole basket of a bunch of different green energy companies. And so we invested, it might not seem like a lot of money to you, but we invested, you know, some of our savings into that. And fortunately, it was just at the day the market was at the bottom. So what's interesting is since we did that, I'm embarrassed to confess this, but since then, I think I've been checking the stock market like 5 or 10 times a day. Like, I'm like, how's it doing? Is green energy the future? Are we rich? I just, like, the fact that I made that investment, it put my heart into that investment. And so I would say that for us as well, when we invest our dishonest wealth in the kingdom by sharing with those who are really suffering, for those who are like Lazarus, it puts our heart with that investment. Just like my investment in green energy, it put my heart there. So for us, as we give our dishonest wealth, it really puts our heart there in those people who are poor, the people who Jesus really prioritizes and wants to lift up. So what I would say to you is that don't wait to give until your heart is in the right place to give. I think sometimes we feel like we have to like be moved in order to give, and we have to wait until our compassion is really full and then we're moved to give. And if that's happening to you in this season, God bless you. But I think for a lot of us, it's just hard to see Lazarus, even though we know it's happening. I saw an article this week in the New York Times that Rochelle will share with you now that says that because of the downturn associated with coronavirus, probably 500 million people are going to fall back into destitute poverty this year. And that this will be poverty like Lazarus level poverty. But it's hard to feel that. It's hard to even know that. Our brains check out when we hear that. So I would say that's why I'm so excited to be looking at this passage at the very week that this is our giving week. We have an opportunity this week to invest in the kingdom. And through that investment, our heart will, in a sense, be connected to the kingdom. Our heart will see Lazarus. And so please don't wait until your heart is in the right place to give. I think it's really hard to get in touch with that compassion these days in our solitude and in our isolation. Instead, I would say that giving is what puts your heart in the right place. That don't wait until your heart is in the right place to give. Giving is actually what puts your heart in the right place. And so in that sense, using our dishonest wealth for the kingdom, sharing it with the Lazaruses that this crisis has put at our gate, is for you too. Of course, it's a huge blessing to Lazarus and the people, you know, the people that Lazarus represents, who we have the privilege of connecting with, whether that's in Oakland or Sacramento or Uganda or someplace else that you know. But I really think that there is a powerful bonus for us of joy that as we click that button, as we actually give in a way that might feel risky for us now because we feel the risk, that I think that there might be a way that God opens up the reality of the kingdom to you and even to us. So I have to say, I'm very, very excited about this week. So I want to close with just a very concrete encouragement to participate in Giving Week, and through doing so, to both be a blessing to Lazarus and to experience the reality of the kingdom in your life. So here's what I'd like you to do today. For those of you who are part of this community, please do take some time today to go to our Giving Week hub. The link is in the chat. It's right there on our website under Give. You can find it. And to really take some time to ask yourself before God, God, how much am I going to give for this stimulus jubilee? We always do a Giving Week twice a year. It just so happens that this week is the normal time that we would do it. But we really feel that this week, this year, is a special Giving Week simply because of the crisis that we're there. And so this week, my prayer is that you would go before God and maybe with your family, with your household, with others you trust, and just start a conversation with God, asking, like, God, how much do you want me to give this year? And in order to start that conversation, I just want to share sort of transparently where my family is starting that conversation. So for us, what we're really prayerfully considering, and we want to decide today, is what we'd like to do is to look at the number we gave last Giving Week in October or November, and we want to match that amount plus whatever our stimulus check will be. And so for us, it's $1,200 an adult, $500 a kid. So we're really considering, God, in this crisis, in order to like to invest in your kingdom and make it real, we're considering giving $3,400 plus what we gave last Giving Week. And I guess I would just like to offer that to you as a conversation starter. And it's not a rule. I think there are some of us who will need to give a lot less. There are some of us who will need to give a lot more. And just a really brief word for those of you who are impacted financially. I heard of the first person in our church this week to lose their job to this crisis. Be encouraged by this text that God sees you and that God has a special concern for those of us who are really suffering financially. And there's sort of no expectation as to what you should give. But I do want to say that God has your back and that this giving is for you as well, even if you're able to give $20. Because for somebody who is more like Lazarus than you, God will bless you as well as blessing them. So whatever the number is, I want to encourage you to consider what that is. And let me close by offering you some math. I know that's really a compelling way to close. Last fall, our Giving Week, we gave $43,000, which was a new record. Very generous. I was very proud of our church. But do you know that this year, if there's 100 adults or so that make CWOW their church home, if only 3/4 of us, if only $7,500 of us gave $1,200, which would be the equivalent of the stimulus check, and I know not all of us are receiving a stimulus check, some of us frankly make too much, but if we just said, all right, I'm going to give that equivalent anyway, you know how much that would be? Yep, some of you math majors know that it would be $90,000, almost double what we would have given last time. So I just want to close with the encouragement and with the audacious idea that could we actually double our record? Could we get to $90,000 in this Giving Week during this crisis? I think that would be a beautiful picture of what our common witness could be. I think to our surrounding world, it would show the world what the upside down kingdom looks like. And so my encouragement to you today is to decide, what is that number for you? And may for you it be a number of joy and freedom and participation in the upside down kingdom. Let me pray for us, and we will continue in the joyful worship of Eastertide. God, I thank you that your kingdom really is real, and we confess that it's hard for us to see now. And we confess that your invitation to us to see it through our concrete giving might be even harder to see. So Jesus, give us the grace to step into this. And Jesus, may we see the joy set before us as we consider this challenge that you give to us through your teaching in this passage, Jesus. We pray your blessing and your fullness on all the different ways that we will gather to actually give this week. Lord, may it be a truly sacred space, even in this time of isolation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to do two songs that are a reminder of how deep God's love is and how wonderful God has been to all of us. Everything that Jesus did on the cross, how miraculous Eastertide is. And the first one will be new to most of you, so we're going to run through basically a verse and a chorus. And we'll ask you to join us. For his burial, rolling waves, there is no end. How great the love that takes away our sin. Love and mercy light the way. Grace of sin is washed away. We are alive in you, purified and made anew. Precious blood washes our sins away. Church is alive in you, sanctified and made anew. Precious blood washes our sin away. All right, let's join us now for the first verse. How high, how wide? How high, how wide, how deep, how long? The love of God for his very own. Rolling waves, there is no end. How great the love that takes away our sin. Love and mercy light the way. Grace of sin is washed away. We are alive. You purified, made anew. Precious blood washes the sin away. Church is alive in you, sanctified, made anew. Precious blood washes our sin away. Were captive in the curse, the cords of death threatened our very soul. In that darkness, your light shines, saving hope. You are the bread of life, the love and mercy. Light the way.
like you, purify and make you new, you precious blood, washes our sin away. The church is alive in you, sanctified and made new, precious blood, washes our sin away. We are alive in you, purified and made anew, precious blood washes our sin away. The church is alive in you, sanctified and made anew, precious blood washes our sin away. Washes our sin away. It washes our
Who you are.
I just wanted to share that today we are offering prayer ministry as usual after celebration, but we're going to be doing it in a slightly different way. So typically you would have to click, so you can actually ignore number one, the directions on number one, receiving one-on-one prayer after celebration. So typically you would click on that link to go to a Google form and then submit ask for prayer there. But instead, what you'll do is when communion is over, so after you've taken communion, there's a link in the chat that is a separate Zoom room. So you'll actually leave this Zoom and go into the different prayer ministry Zoom. And there, I'll be there and four prayer ministers will be there. And I'll break you out in a private, confidential breakout room where you can pray with the prayer minister. If the link in the chat doesn't work, Rochelle sent out the same link in an email. I know that depending on your version, you may not be able to copy and paste links in the chat. So feel free to look at Rochelle's email from this morning to get the link. If that doesn't work, you can email prayer@nowalls.org and I'll send you the link directly. This morning, as usual, we had prayer ministers and other CUL members pray for our celebration today. And some words that they got were thinking about an empty pantry or a cupboard. So potentially if you, there might be someone who feels laid bare, spiritually empty, and needing to be replenished. And then also a prayer word for anyone who is feeling sick and wants a prayer of healing. So if this or anything else resonates with you, if you anything is up for prayer, please feel free to go to the separate Zoom room and after you take communion. Thanks, everyone.
Hello, my name is Ed, and I'm going to be leading us in a time of communion. So here at Church Without Walls, we invite followers of Jesus from any background to come and share at the table. If for some reason you don't feel like communion is the right step, we encourage you to just sit and observe and take this time to ask God where he is present to you. We trust that God will meet you wherever you are at. And communion is communal, and given our current circumstances, some of us might find it difficult to serve communion and to be served by another. And so if you find yourself in that situation, I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, his very real presence is there with you, and we'll have to make do. So if you'd like to participate in communion, I'll have you serve communion to one another, first the bread, and then your juice or your wine, and Derek and Hans will lead us in our communion song. So we celebrate that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus had a meal with his disciples, and during that meal he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup and he blessed it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And we remember that every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we remember Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and that he is coming again. Please extend your hands over the communion elements as I pray for them. Now, Holy Spirit, come upon this bread and this cup and make them your very real presence. And Holy Spirit, would you come upon us and move us to invest in where our hearts desire to be and to help us see your kingdom all around us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat with hearts of joy and faith.
So much. As we close, I just want to remind us of not the first step that we've talked about today of discerning before God how much we will participate in the giving week. But I wanted to remind us that as Christians, that we don't give out of despair. That hearing about all the bad things that happens can lead some people to despair. But we as Christians, we give out of hope. That it's the upside down kingdom that is going to have the last word. And we give in the hope of the coming of that last word someday. It's also true that as Christians, we give a little differently because we're a community. And so we want to express that community together by actually giving together. So the next step, first step today, is decide what your participation is going to be. Come to a number. The second step would be to actually schedule a time to give together. And in order to do this, I've taken a quick page from my family where we've given together and we do a little liturgy. So I've put together a little liturgy for us. It only takes about 15 minutes. And this week, we would like to gather in small groups. You can see the link in the chat right there. You can even click on it now and check it out. I'm very proud of it because it doesn't look too ugly. Generally, I'm pretty bad at this sort of online graphic design things, but I think it looks kind of good. And I think it'll be a really encouraging, fun community experience to actually give together, to pray for the people that we're giving to, and then actually write some prayers of blessing that those places, those people we give to, we can actually send those blessings as well. And I also want to say, and so you can look for those in this week at CWOW, look for the different scheduling of the groups through your life groups. You can do it in your own home. We'll have a bunch of options. But if you are all ready to give and you're totally set, I'm actually going to run a beta liturgy giving today. If you want to actually do your giving right after this, we can do that as well. So just stay on afterwards. Some people want to hang out and just make funny faces. You can do that too. Funny faces are totally fine as usual. But we can also, those of us who want to try the giving liturgy, could break out into a room for those of us who are very, very ready. The rest of us, we can do it other times this week. I would like to take a page out of Derek and Hans and invite us all to stand if you are able as we close. And I'd like to do as we've been doing in Eastertide and unmute yourselves and let us declare the goodness of the resurrection of Jesus as a celebration of Eastertide. So three times we'll say, you'll respond, and let's begin. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed.
Christ
is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Go forth now and love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great to see you all this morning.